Mr. Punch presents The Chronicle, a history told in four parts. Compiled and abridged by Sue Rodwell and directed by John Tuckey. Book 1, January to March.
January the 1st, 1858. It is worth noticing that after a year of fine weather, of which nobody can recollect the like, this first day of the new year has opened like one of a genial spring. This nearly unbroken course of wonderful weather for about 9 or 10 months gives rise to many speculations as to its cause, and no doubt there is some physical cause, although it has not yet been ascertained. Charles Greville.
John Evelyn. 1st of January, 1684. The weather continuing intolerably severe, so as streets of booths were set up upon the Thames. The air so very cold and thick, as of many years there had not been the like.
Lady Hester Stanhope, January the 2nd, 1812, to Mr. Murray. Before this letter reaches you, you will have heard, in all probability, an account of my shipwreck from Mr. Coutts. That I am here to relate it is rather extraordinary, for I escaped not only a sinking ship, but put to sea in a boat when one could hardly have supposed it could have lived 5 minutes, the storm was so great. Unable to make the land, I got ashore, not on an island, but a bare rock which stuck up in the sea, and remained 30 hours without food or water. It becoming calmer the second night, I once more put to sea, and fortunately landed upon the island of Rhodes, but above 3 days' journey from the town, travelling at the rate of 8 hours a day over mountains and dreadful rocks. So away I went, putting my faith in that God who has never quite forsaken me in all my various misfortunes. The next place I slept in was a mill upon sacks of corn, after that in a hut, where I turned out a poor ass to make more room, and congratulated myself on having a bed of straw. When I arrived, after a day of tremendous fatigue at a tolerable village, I found myself too ill to proceed the next day, and was fortunate enough to make the acquaintance of a kind-hearted, hospitable Greek gentleman whom misfortune had sent into obscurity, and he insisted upon keeping me in his house till I was recovered. Everything I possessed I have lost. Had I attempted to save anything, others would have done the same, and the boat would have been sunk. To collect clothes in this part of the world to dress as an Englishwoman would be next to impossible. At least it would cost me 2 years' income. To dress as a Turkish woman would not do, because I must not be seen to speak to a man. Therefore I have nothing left for it but to dress as a Turk, as an Asiatic Turk in a travelling dress. Just a sort of silk and cotton shirt, next a striped cloth short jacket without sleeves or half sleeves, beautifully worked in coloured twist, a large pair of breeches and Turkish boots, a sash into which goes a brace of pistols, a knife and a sort of short sword, a belt for powder and shot made of variegated leather which goes over the shoulder, and a turban of several colours put on in a particular way with a large bunch of natural flowers on one side. Let those who envied me in my greatness alike envy me in rags. Let them envy that contented and contemplative mind which rises superior to all worldly misfortunes which are independent of the affections of the heart. Tell them I can feel happier in wandering over wilds, observing and admiring the beauties of nature, than ever I did when surrounded by pomp, flatterers and fools.
Eight. Washington. I have been out since I began to write. Miss Baker took me in her carriage to return.